In the name of Jesus, amen. Take your bulletin and look at the front page. And then flip it upside down. You know, it's interesting. For many years, church architects thought of the church as being a ship. And so what they wanted to do is they wanted to design the sanctuary of a church building to be kind of a reminder that the people of God are on a journey. They are traveling across time. They are moving toward eternity. They will land safely one day on the shores of forever. Now, how much of the church has already gotten there, right? It's interesting to think of the church building as a ship where the church is fed by Jesus in word and sacrament so that it can travel through the challenges that the church faces every day. The church and this image of being a ship is pretty cool, actually. But the challenge is what kind of ship are we thinking about? So let's have some fun. Are we like a carnival cruise liner, just kicking back? There are places to lay out and get some sun while the staff works hard behind the scenes making everything work, and you're just wondering what the snack is at the bar or what's going on at the poolside or what's going to be the entertainment at the ballroom. I mean, is that the church? I mean, in some ways, sure. I mean, there have been some occasions recently I've had a lot of fun with my family. The church can have fun. So it fits, kinda. Is the church more like a battleship, you think? Fighting the good fight of faith, all hands on deck. I mean, there's no lounge chairs there. I mean, it's just a lot of hard work. I mean, it's difficult. Perhaps your last week was a lot of hard work and you're glad you're finally at Sunday and you know your Monday's not going to be quite so bad. Or maybe it's going to be a continuation of the battle, the good fight of faith. Is that the church? Can we use this ship as the illustration? I mean, it fits in a lot of ways. Our battle is not against, how does Paul say it, flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the heavenly places. So we might be a spaceship. What about this? That's a really cool. I mean, just think what that represents. A ship, a hospital on deck down below, a ship hospital. Certainly that's fitting for us to think about. You know, we've been wrapping up this kind of working through the portion of Mark's gospel where Jesus starts really getting intense and talking about real pollution and how we're really corrupted and we cannot cleanse ourselves. He spends a lot of time talking about our spiritual heart condition, the kind of care it needs. So certainly we're all on that ship in need of Christ's care. He is the medicine, the only heart medicine, brain medicine, gut medicine that helps us live in hope, peace, joy, and love. But it's rather interesting to think about how the church travels. The whole Bible is a history of the dangers, toils, and snares that the church has had to navigate through. Are we going to be any different? I don't think so. We're going to have to say, what does this mean? What does that mean? How can we love? How can we forgive? How can we work through this? And plenty of the church is doing that in their homes, where they go to work, where they live in the neighborhoods, and we're no different. Because we're the church. We're the church. And some of the important things that we have learned as the church, and these are the theologies that we hold on to, believe, teach, confess, and practice. We believe that we have a sinful condition. We call it the doctrine of original sin. We just have a bent. We have they call it concupiscence. We just drift into sin and temptation. The devil invites and we grab his hand and go. It's part of our nature, this original sin, and it makes itself manifest in all kinds of actual sins of thought, word, and action by the things we do and the things that we know we're supposed to do and we leave undone. But to that crazy condition in your life and my life, a condition we're going to struggle with all of our days, the good news is what Christ has come, what he has done, and what he delivers. So on the Good Ship Christian Church, Jesus gives us the cure we need. It's interesting. The word church literally means in the Greek, the called out ones. Called out from where? From the murky waters of sin, wickedness, and transgression. From the murky waters of shark-infested demons and the devil in the details. The church has been called out of the wrath of God. The church is now in the favor and grace and mercy and love of God. But like any place of cure and care, the hospital, the spiritual hospital, there is ongoing need for care. I mean, ask anybody who's had something go on and went to the hospital, and what did they say? Well, we want to get you out of here as fast as we can because there's a lot of really bad stuff here that wants you. I have a brother-in-law who had that as he fought COVID. They wanted to get him out of there. They didn't want him to have anything more. Now, what about the called out ones? We're in the floating hospital all the time. And it's to that condition where there can be dangers in the church that James, I mean, in a way, it's fascinating. I've never grasped this before, and I've preached on this over the years many times. But it's fascinating how, you know, James is really about what needs to be really carefully followed there in the church when we think about it as a spiritual hospital where healing needs to take place. The danger is that it won't. And again, he's talking about the rich, those who have more than they know what to do with. But even more, those who are struggling with their sin and those who are impatient about getting things done. It's interesting, these categories we covered in our reading for the day. And so what does this mean for us today when we consider the theme, a congregation where healing happens? What does that mean? It means that we learn how to look at our whole life and all of our assets, all of who and what we are, and realize that all that is a gift from God. And then to also understand that all that we truly have to own up to, we have to confess, but the good news is that we can give it to the Lord Jesus. All the ways that we fall short. To think of all the ways that God has blessed us, to think of all the ways that God has saved us. Truly, the church is a different kind of reality for us who now have been saved. I mean, someone threw the lifeline out to you somewhere, sometime in your life. The life jacket, the little dinghy, or the harness to haul you up. And any and across all of those illustrations, the lifesaver was always the same. It was Jesus. It was his gospel. Whether it was in the waters of holy baptism and the first time you ever heard the forgiveness and believed it and said amen, to even through the course of the daily dangers, toils, and snares that mark your life and my life, where we can get stuck, we can get caught, and we can fall into temptation. Isn't it nice to know that we have those who care for us, who tell us they're praying for us, share the message of Jesus with us? That's the beauty of the church. I mean, James really dives in. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Anyone cheerful? Let him praise. Anyone sick, whether physically or spiritually? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Just on the side, somewhere along the line, somewhere while I've been here, I've lost my anointing oil. But why? Why do all of this? This is the protocol for the hospital. This is what it's about. Because in truth, it's also a place to have a party, to have a praise. And it's also a place to fight the good fight of faith. I don't know if you can build a cruise liner, battleship, hospital boat, but that would be a good way to think about us. And the place of prayer. Place of patience. It's a challenge to grow things. It's a challenge to see things change. It's a challenge. Be patient. Do it in love. See what happens. You know, the most important thing for us is to be a people that are gathered often around word and sacrament. To be fed with the bread of life so that we don't spiritually die. So that we can live out our identities. So that we can be of assistance to the people in our homes, in our neighborhoods. You know, one of the biggest challenges that I saw when I left Northern California was I was going to miss the little church that was my neighborhood. I started praying for all these people I didn't know, and then I started to get to know them. Sometimes they'd help me with my little kids and the things that they we're working on, spilling out into the yards. Sometimes I'm holding hands over the fence praying with people. Or I show up and all the guys want to talk to me about the latest crazy thing that's happening. That's the church. It's taking care of the grandkids because the parents are too busy trying to make things work. It's not working so well. They're fighting a lot with each other. It's grandparents just trying to show the grandchildren what it means to be forgiven, what it means to love. It's when you think about people, you pray for them. I had one of my first elders, he would say he's praying for me. He wasn't afraid to tell stories of the times in his life when he didn't care whether or not he went to church and how he doesn't feel that way anymore. And he thought he needed to tell those stories every once in a while to people. It's praying for people when you think about them. That's the hospital. That's the hospital. And you know, sometimes we get sideways. It's having people put up with us. Even it's not easy. It's the church. And I mean, prayer is being showcased here. It's so cool. It's wonderful. I mean, we hear how Elijah prayed. And, you know, James makes the point, you're just like Elijah. Call upon the Lord. I mean, one of the most valuable tools that we have that has been given to us is prayer, where we are to call upon the Lord. One of the things that struck me about this congregation, even before I had the call, was the value of prayer and how important it is. And it continues. And there's a reason for that. That's what the hospital does. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of prayer. But keep in mind, it's being who you are as church, wherever you are. We call the term mission and ministry. So there is a mission and ministry plan that a church has that's driven by the annual budget. But most of your mission and ministry plan is about what you do every day. Guess what kind of a boat that looks like? That. You're a dinghy bobbing about North Texas. And you have all kinds of mission and ministry opportunities. To some believers, you just care for them. That's ministry. Pray with them. Talk with them. That's ministry. To some that you bump into in your little dinghy on the turbulent waters of North Texas, you're a missionary that can throw them the lifeline, the same lifeline you're holding on to. But that's the church, and it's a place where healing happens. It's a place that goes through turbulent struggles like we saw in Moses' day, as we see in the history of the church throughout all the books of the Bible. And yet, it's a boat that has within it the Good Shepherd, who is healing us and empowering us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.